Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Hello and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast of PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolsky, joined, as always, fresh off just a whirlwind Tout Wars weekend.
Yes.
Nick Pollock.
Yes. And what is happening?
I know you don't want to toot your own horn. We just have to acknowledge the award that you won for the service you've done for the community. I know you don't like to be celebrated, so we'll move on very quickly. But you were honored for your contributions to the community, for myriad contributions, but also primarily for PitchCon, setting that up, all the money that it has donated for ALS research and just what it has done to bring people together, in particular during the pandemic when we really kind of needed those outlets. And so the people should know that you were honored. You deserve it. Congratulations. We can move on as soon as you want to.
Thanks, Eric. That was Laura Michaels' award. I do want to say very much that I never expected to win this, and it means so much to me because when I showed up in this industry, there are legends that have been here for decades, and it's such a great representation of the industry that they all accepted me, and they wanted, they were excited that there was new blood, right? Young blood in the industry. And in many ways, you can argue that what I've created with PitcherList is, it's competing against them. And I can also see that, in my head, it's like, these guys are incredible. And I've always had a small maybe worry of just, I don't ever want to have conflict with them because here I am trying to do all this stuff. And for them to give me this award and say that they are excited for the future of the industry because of this is just the most touching thing and the greatest honor they could give me. So it really does mean a lot to me. That's, I think, the award I am most proud of now is that one, none of the other stuff. And so I can't thank Ron Chandler and the whole Tent Wars crew just enough for that one. So that was a special thing. So thank you guys for that one. But that's it. Let's move on, please.
Well, let's move on to the other thing that you'll be doing this week. So if this comes out and people are in New York City, tell them what will be happening on Wednesday, March 20th.
Yes. Come to the Other Half Brewery in Williamsburg, where I will be on the Rates and Barrels podcast with Eno Saris and Derek Van Riper. It is going to be a great day. I'll be there from like 3 p.m. till 10 p.m.
Have you been
watch
to this
Korea baseball game? And
have you been to this other half?
I have not. I've been to the one in Gowanus because last year, of course, the opening day event with launching a beer and the Athletic was in Gowanus. And unfortunately, I had to go to Williamsburg, closer to you. Unbelievable. But I'm really looking forward to that. I'll also be there on Thursday. Mike Petriello will be on that podcast too. Mm-hmm. It's possible Alex Fast will be there on Wednesday. Ooh. And Ellen Adair. I'm trying to convince Alex Chamberlain to go. It's going to be all the good people. Yes. Maybe Eric will be there at the end. We'll see.
I will be there Wednesday night. I'll probably be showing up sometime towards the end of the podcast. My schedule's a little crazy these days, but I will be there. I'll be there to hang out with everybody. If you do get a chance to go early to see Nick, that brewery is right by Domino Park in Williamsburg. So it's like a really cool park right by the water. So you can make a little day of it. It's a nice little place. And then there's some pizza right nearby. Eno's got a sandwich. It's a good, come hang out, relax, you know,
it's going to be a great time. And yeah. I do want to mention actually, while we've got a second, I had the pleasure this weekend of sitting next to Eric Samulski as we both drafted a Tout Wars league. And we, Eric was there just sitting in. He wasn't actually, he's not in my league. Unfortunately, I can't make him suffer. He drafted for the reigning champion, Greg Jewett.
Yeah, no pressure.
None at all whatsoever. But it was very fun. And it might help just to kind of review what you did for Greg quickly. I can talk about mine in just a moment. And I'm going to review it fast. I'm just going to tell you guys, this is a CBS points league that is head-to-head. It's 12-teamer. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that I identify that to you, because my strategy changes them from everything I talk about for five by five. Because this is a points league, and especially one that highlights negative points for a walk and a hit evenly. So it's negative one per each one, but only plus 0.5 for a strikeout, not one, means that strikeouts are diminished in this league. Like Blake Snell, for example, strikeouts, great, high whip. Whip mm-hmm. cancels out those strikeouts a ton. Also, it's a win-focused one. It is an innings-focused one. So you want some of those boring Tobies if you can. Mm-hmm. You want to go after that. And actually, some of them went even higher than I expected in this. The other aspect is, this is a league that when I played in it in 2022, I had to switch out of it for 2023. I made the semifinals because I was able to stream in season very effectively. And in fact, I think I went 0-6 to start that year. I had such a terrible start to that year and then came all the way back to make the playoffs in that. And Ariel Cohen was like, I think you might be able to win. So, and I didn't. But it was really touching. Ariel Cohen lost to Frank Stample. Stample won like 3 years in a row almost, or something like that. 2 years in a row, almost won a three-peat last year. So that is my goal going into this. And so I went heavy on the hitter front. Mm-hmm. And I have a slew of guys that went for 15 or more on the hitter front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And actually Yandy Diaz was 14. So it's 8 of them on that end, which is absolutely kind of nuts for me. And this is also a points league that goes for getting hits. Which means I don't even necessarily focus on stolen bases. High average guys in OBP, good. Steven Kwan I got for $5, which is absolutely bonkers in this league. Jeff McNeil is my middle infielder, awesome for $1, that kind of stuff. Jorge Polanco for $1, love that. Okay, so pitching front, RP focus. They have 2 RPs, but because it's points, you don't need to make it saves. And there are really only 2 pitchers that I focused on for RP to fill in. Now you could think, Nick, AJ Puck that you love could be in there. It could be Cutter Crawford, could be Nick Pivetta or Garrett Whitlock or Tanner Houck. All of those are RP eligible and you'd be able to put him there. Absolutely. However, there could only be one. The thing is, with this RP slot, it is really hard to fill that in season. Mm-hmm. In season, if they do not do well, to replace an RP in season to one that you like as a starting pitcher, which is going to get more value in my view than a closer, especially also like getting a quality closer in season, and this is not going to work out as well. It's very difficult to find an RP that's going to step up in that way. So I needed to ensure I had a stud in that RP slot. And what do you know? That would be Cole Reagans. I got him at 21. My 4th of 6 leagues with Cole Reagans. Shocking. At least I'm, you know, putting my money where my mouth is. And then I got Raisel Iglesias at $12, which sounds crazy because I'm the starting pitching guy, but no, that's a floor in that RP slot. Mm-hmm. I have that now. I don't feel like I need to replace that one because that's a really hard one to get quality points in week to week in. So the only other one I would consider was Michael King. And I bid him up to, I had him at 14 and I think he went for 15. It's like, okay, that's, I can't do that because I can't be doing this. Otherwise, I mean, I really cheaped out on pitching. Joe Ryan for 16, who's great in this league because it's not negative for home runs. It's low whip and we'll go six innings. Great. Joe Musgrove, same kind of idea. Christian Javier, who I think is going to be much better this year. I got him for like $5 and I think he's going to get a high win total. I think they're going to trust him a lot. His changeup looks great. And that's a huge, huge deal for me because even though the four walks the other day, don't worry about it. I think with the changeup getting strikes, Christian Javier all of a sudden is a much better pitcher than last year. Marcus Stroman has more value in this league because of this. Reese Olson I got for $1 because I think he's going to be able to go six innings. And then it's also an unlimited IL. And especially in my situation where I'm going to be streaming, I realized, okay, great. I'm going to get two IL guys who then come back in not too long. And this is the very end of my draft. And I already expected that to be able to stream guys and have guys in my reserves that I'm going to be starting week one or week two. So I'm ready to go of like, let's even open it up. And then I get major value in a month or so. So that's Walker Buehler and Gavin Williams combined for $9, which is my last $9 of the draft. I actually, if anything, I should have spent more to get your boy Imanaga. But then again, you push them to $10 or something, $9. I was like, all right, I can't do this. So I didn't do that.
But then I didn't even get him.
Oh, you didn't get him, right? Someone, no. Yeah, it was JB or Frank came in for 11 or something.
Yeah, I'll check as you're talking. But yeah, I got outbid. He went for 10 to Ryan Hallam. I was at 9.
Then that's like, okay, cool. I'm not going to do that because I'd rather have Musgrove at 11. And then I was like, no, Nick, do not spend now on this, trying to spend on hitters. And I tried to do that as much as I can. I mean, I got Trout at 16, Bellinger at 19, Cedric Mullins at 9, Randy Rosarena at 21, Stephen Kwan at 5, Shohei Ohtani at 31. Sweet. Will Smith at 19. So I don't have to worry about that one. I got an early $1 catcher and I was like, I just don't want to think about this again. So I got Tyler Stevenson for $1, which is very borderline of it, but whatever, done. As I mentioned, Yadier Diaz, 14. Jorge Polanco at $1. Christian Walker at 19. Jose Altuve at 20. Estrada, Tyler Estrada at 6. And that's my offense. And then with Jeff McNeil at $1. So like, I feel like, cool, I have a pretty safe offense that should be getting points every week. And then I just get my stuff with pitching. So that's my strategy with it. I got reserves. Of course, I'm just going to lean into pitchers now that I'm swapping in. So Tanner Houck could be a reliever that I swap in as a backup. I wanted one of those. Matt Manning, who I absolutely love in this league, so good in this league. Oh my gosh. I was nervous of like someone stealing him before. Then I figured I'd get in the reserves. I didn't want to get overbid, etc. James Paxton, who I love early on in this, is a great swap for Walker Buehler. It's a good handcuff. I got Reynaldo Lopez before it was confirmed that he was going to be starting, and I took a chance on that one. I'm so happy about it. Tristan Cockcroft came out to me afterwards. It was like, you got Raylo. I was like, yes, we're both in on this. And then my favorite one, because honestly, this is a league I think I can stash a guy for a while. So I was like, you know what? I just want to have Jackson Jobe. And the thing is, in this league, you cannot add a minor league player in season. Only when they arrive. So either spend a massive amount of fab later or get Jackson Jobe now. So I said, fine, I'll get Jackson Jobe now. And that's my team.
Yeah, I the strategy component of this was new to me. It was my first points league. And also, you know, Greg had some guys that he really wanted. And so I was drafting also within what Greg wanted to do. The only difference I had for you is like I would have probably spent less on starting pitching. Greg really wanted an anchor and he really liked Zach Wheeler for this format and had a price that he was willing to go for Zach Wheeler. And so I went up and grabbed him. And then I got Freed as a second starting pitcher.
Where'd you get him? $16?
$20.
Okay. So I was bidding up with you. I was there with you on that one. Yeah.
And so and then the rest of my rotation is all like, I got Tristan McKenzie for $6, Verlander for $5, Darvish for $8. You know, all guys that like you said, Darvish, Verlander, like they could go deep into games on good teams and pick up wins and, you know, all these things that are valuable in this format. Greg wanted two relievers. Obviously, Greg you know, runs reliever recon and now closer monkey. And so relievers are very valuable and important to him. And it wasn't about spending up to get, like, you know, it was about getting the right relievers at cost. And so we got Andres Munoz and Evan Phillips at prices that, you know, Craig really are really good based on Greg's value of them. And then my starting pitchers who were relievers are Cutter Crawford and DL Hall, who obviously went for way less than Cole Reagans and even way less than AJ Puck. I was surprised. I think Puck went for 9 and I was able to get Cutter Crawford for 5. And I feel like there's not, I actually have Crawford higher. So anyway, and then that, the same thing, loading up on good hitting with this team, high on base percentage guys, and points leagues obviously value power. So I kind of approached it looking at it like it was an OPS league, like who's going to get on base constantly or consistently, right, and who's going to hit for power. And so being able to get guys like, you know, Casas and Machado and Corey Seager, and then, you know, getting a guy like Masataka Yoshida in this format where like the OBP is really high and the home runs might not be super high, but, you know, he's not going to really hurt you anywhere. And then obviously Greg didn't want to mess with catchers at all. So we got Realmuto and Ohapi. Ohapi I really like in this format. Well, and then I honestly didn't know that you couldn't in this format, because my tout rules are, my tout league is AO only, and so it's different than rules than yours. I didn't know about the you couldn't pick up a player from the minors in the middle of the year, but I got Jared Jones in the reserves, and so I'm happy I did that, because if he doesn't start the year for the Pirates, you know, Greg will have him when he inevitably comes up. I also added Casey Mize and Louis Heel so that Greg could possibly stream. And then Greg and I, we had our wires crossed a little bit. He wanted Robert Suarez, and I picked Ranger Suarez, and then was able to later pick Robert Suarez. So he'll probably drop Ranger Suarez, maybe, I guess.
I don't know. Suarez isn't the worst get in this. It didn't seem abnormal because he goes 6 innings or so. He gets a quality, so I could get a win. Like, he'll get the, I think they're going to host the Reds. Early, like it could work out for Ranger Suarez early. Actually, no, I'm so sorry. It's Atlanta might be his first start. Yeah. But then it's Washington. So maybe.
Who knows? I think, you know, again, that's the, you know, you're, once you're getting into like that reserve area, you can always kind of go back and forth with it. I think the unfortunate thing, I guess it doesn't matter because we got Robert Suarez and Greg doesn't want too many stashes, but he did mention possibly if Louis Heel wasn't there with his last pick getting Griffin Jacks, and this was before the Johan Duran news.
Oh wow.
And so had I not drafted Ranger Suarez and then had to also draft Robert Suarez, we could have had Griffin Jacks as well, which could have been a big boost for Greg. So
but it was a fun time. I really enjoyed hanging out with Eric next to me. It's also funny. It's like, okay, you're gonna bid on Darvish. Darvish was the one I was like, oh, I really wanted to be on this because I feel like he's the perfect example. It's like a low whip arm who's going to go 6 innings constantly and get wins. And like, that's what this league is made for. And I just wasn't in a position where I felt good bidding on starting pitching. You know, I just felt like I should be spending more dollars on hitting.
Nick and I sat next to each other in the room, and some starting pitchers would be announced and nominated. Nick and I would both just be like, and then there would be a pitcher where we're both like 4, 6, 8, 9, whatever, just like back and forth. So, we're going to talk about some of those pitchers that we like today, because today's episode is going to focus on the guys who've really popped for us in spring training. If you want to call them spring training risers, whatever term you want to use. These are pitchers who weren't really on our radar or were kind of on the periphery of our radar before coming into spring, and have really kind of jumped. So you'll hear some of the guys that are, you know, duplicates of guys that we've talked about before, guys we really like, pitchers we're trying to get. Some of them you won't hear because some of them are guys that, you know, we came into the season in on. Like, for example, I've talked about Chris Sale on almost every podcast we've had. So the fact that he's had a really good spring didn't really make him a riser for me. Same thing with Bailey Ober. Like, Nick and I were interested in Bailey Ober from previous workloads and what he had done before. So he didn't really kind of pop for us in the spring. So if you don't hear somebody mentioned, this is to say that doesn't mean we don't like them. It's just the qualifications for this were a little bit different.
Exactly.
I'm going to start with a quick one, just because actually it's a hat tip to you and Eno. On your last episode of The Craft, you talked about what Joe Ryan had been doing in the spring, which I hadn't fully realized. And then after I listened to your episode, I went back and I think that, like, I knew that he was adding in this sinker, but I hadn't really paid attention to how much he was also modifying his other pitches.
Right.
He reshaped the splitter a little bit. He's throwing it in the spring almost 4 miles an hour harder with a little bit more arm side, like, horizontal break. Last year he went to the sweeper, and this in the spring at least he's gone more to like a harder slider, and the sweeper is kind of like his peripheral breaking ball, which was good because the sweeper was like last year. But you know, we talked about, like, Joe Ryan was great in the first half of the year, and then he lost the splitter and he kind of fell apart. And so I think the two seamer or the sinker will be really good for him against right-handed batters. If he can kind of get it inside, I like that he's changing the splitter. I love that he's trying a different thing with the slider. I just love that, like, you know, I'm writing an article about his changes and I just love this quote where he said, it's fun to just see how different guys around the league use different pitches, and it's always fun to keep working on stuff. And I just kind of love that mindset from somebody who's just never going to be like happy with just being like fine. He's always trying to improve. And so I had moved Joe Ryan down in my rankings because I just wasn't convinced in the depth of his arsenal. And now I'm kind of back in and I have him like in my low 20s. And I think, you know, if he were my SP2 in most formats, I'd be super happy with that.
Yeah. Joe Ryan also started yesterday. So that is on Monday, and he is a tick up, right? And I hope that the slider and splitter are what we saw in the previous start once the season starts, because that slider was just like kind of, you know, middle height all over the plate. And I was like, I don't really love that for you. I want this thing to be down and really tunneling better with the four seamer. The same with the splitter, a little bit too much of the plate and not underneath it. But as you're mentioning, right, improving on that slider, it does look like it's a better slider now, and that's cool. And if he's doing something else that's not just, hey, sit on my four seamer, great. Sinker's not really a big deal, unfortunately, which sucks because I want that to be good. I want that to be like the obvious nullifier. We've seen that work with the Mariners a ton, and he only threw four of them in the game yesterday on Monday. And Joe Ryan, well, you executed one against Connor Joe. It was an 0-1 fastball that went inside like a sinker should. Got a foul ball. Yes. But then the others, he threw like a 3-0 sinker inside. Like, what? Okay, that's fine. And then he threw him in 3-2. That was a ball. And I was like, oh, okay. And that was it. You know, really, like, it's not becoming a major, major part yet. I hope it will. And it should be effective for Joe Ryan. But right, I guess I just kind of sat down and thought, all right, he's not going to allow as many home runs as last year. I think he is doing things to be better at that. The four seamer is even better. It's one of the flattest four seamers you'll find, which is a great thing. Flattest delivery. And yeah, it's a good team context. He's going to go every 5 days and be able to go six innings. And he's like a 200 strikeout guy. Like, it's he's a better version of Hunter Green in this way to me. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm right back in. He's pulled me right back in.
Do you have him above or below Bailey Ober?
I moved him above, actually.
Yeah. I'm doing that too.
I moved him above I moved him above Sale, King, and Ober. I felt a little better about the innings compared to Sale and King. And I feel just a little bit better about the upside talent than Ober. And so I bumped him above that grouping.
Nice. So a couple other guys that are up to no good this spring. I wanted to talk a little bit about where we are on the Red Sox, because I don't know. And I want to hear your full take on this and where you are on all five of the guys, but we're going to talk about them after this break.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
So the Red Sox, they just announced Brian Bayo is the opening day starter. And after that, it's Pivetta. It is Cutter Crawford. It is one of Hauk and Whitlock. I don't know what order 4 and 5. I'm going to assume it's Whitlock and then Hauk right now. And I've been back and forth, I think, on all five of these pitchers this spring. And as our resident Red Sox fan, there is no other Red Sox fan on staff. Yes, you heard me. No one. How do you feel about this rotation right now?
Intrigued. Like, I know people don't love it because I think the upside from all of these guys is capped a little bit. Like, none of these guys is an ace, right? You're not getting like, oh my God, we discovered Cole Reagans from this group. but I think, you know, Bayo, Crawford, Hauk, Whitlock, like, there's another level that we haven't yet seen that they could potentially get to. They all have some interesting aspects to what they do. And then with that brand new pitching development team, it's just, I'm curious to see how that gets unlocked. Mm-hmm. So I think that you have these guys that are all actually interesting values in drafts because they're all essentially being fully overlooked because people just, the offseason the Red Sox have, everybody has trashed them so much that nobody thinks the team is good. And then obviously everybody knows that Fenway skews hitter friendly. So people are kind of off the pitchers. Like, none of them are going inside the top 200. And so I think given what the expectations are, I find them all interesting in fantasy to a varying degree because of that. That gap from expectations and reality. I guess Pivetta is actually going inside the top 200. He'd be the only one.
He's the one that's leading the way right now.
Yeah,
is Pivetta, and I don't know if I can, man. I don't know if I can do it.
On Pivetta?
Yeah, I've been back and forth here, and the reason I was in on Pivetta early on was because I really felt that the sweeper, the cutter, and the curve were all getting low finally. And he has this actual Blake Snell blueprint working where he's got cutters for strikes. He got this sweeper now, the Whirly Bird, and he's got the curveball as well to complement the four seamer upstairs. And I feel like this preseason, I haven't really seen the good Pivetta. I haven't really seen it click in yet. This is something I talk about a lot with command being back and forth and how the offseason really resets a ton. And I was really hoping that like one of those should be the anchor, right? For this spring. And, you know, he pitched on Monday. I'm just like, why am I going so heavy into Pivetta? I haven't actually gotten him yet. He's going to get the Mariners and then Oakland and on the road, which is really nice to start the year. But Pivetta is not the guy that you take as a flyer. He's someone that actually you're hoping regular full season. And I'm going to be lowering him a bit on my ranks. I actually said on the morning podcast today that I'll have Pivetta underneath Merrill Kelly, which is shocking, I'm sure, for a lot of people to hear. But I also trust, my gosh, I am not that old of a man, I promise. I am not slowly decaying, like the opposite of the King of Rohan. But I think, it's still there. It's fine. I can say words. I think Merrill Kelly is going to be more consistent with a, he looks like the same guy with a changeup getting whiffs and his four seamers fine, and he's got the good defense and a good offense and whatever, while Pivetta is still more of a mystery. And I started then to look at the entire rotation, and Cutter Crawford's still a little bit of a mystery. I hate to say this, but he has not showcased like the command yet that we think he has. Whitlock has been in and out. I don't have data on the last start. It looked better than the one I saw on TV and had data for. At least like the last start, he has changeup and slider getting strikeouts. That's all I really got from it. But I don't know really if he's soaring. Tanner Houck, you made a really good point. I'll let you talk about with him for a second. But he's, I don't know if he has that tool against lefties yet. And then Brian Baio hasn't unleashed the slider as I expected he would. So all of this is, you know, you throw in the Fenway element that maybe I did overlook before too. I'm starting to heavily question how much I have been in on them, especially with so many fun options too, that I'm looking back at my drafts. Like I have Houck and I have Cutter Crawford, and I think that's it. Maybe I have a league of Baio, but I don't have like a lot of these guys across my six leagues, at least a lot less than I thought I would.
Yeah. I get to the point where I still have them ranked around all of them ranked like around 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of them slightly inside the top 50, some of them outside the top 50. And so they're kind of like they're all above a tier of guys for me that is Berrios, Merrill Kelly, Bassett, you know, guys that are a little bit potentially more boring, but also more stable. And so we've talked about this a lot. Like, yes, I've ranked those guys below like Crawford and Baio and Pivetta, but depending on where my roster build is before, I might take one of the more stable guys rather than take one of these upside guys. The Houck thing is interesting. I have come around on him. I still currently have Baio ahead of Houck in terms of like second ranked on my Red Sox of the Red Sox for me, because I think we've talked about like I like the sinker changeup floor for Baio, and we've talked about the slider as a potential room for improvement, but I think prior to like him completely running out of gas at the end of last year, Baio, and like his last three starts were just an utter train wreck. Like he had a mid threes ERA. He was really keeping like ratios and hard contact in check. He just wasn't striking guys out. So I think the floor is relatively safe with Baio. But Houck is throwing harder, not due to anything mechanical, which is a good thing because the two guys on the Red Sox who are throwing harder this spring due to mechanics are Lucas Giolito and Chris Murphy, and they're both undergoing elbow surgery.
Unreal.
So that's not
great. It's so wrong. They feel so great, and then they get hurt, and it's like, that's just the worst.
But Houck is healthy now. He had a back injury before. And there's been some really good footage comparing his windup to last year. And when in the middle of his windup, when he reaches his balance point, so when his knee is up, when he's like about to drive toward the plate and is at his balance point, which theoretically, like when you teach young pitchers, they should be able to just like chill there in the balance point with their knee up in the air, yep. Right? And Houck in previous seasons is almost like hunched forward. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of talk that like that hunch forward prevents him from really driving as far down the mound, throws off some of like his landing spot, which has led to some of the kind of like, he doesn't have bad command, but just like the inconsistent command.
Right.
And so being more upright has led him to be able to drive down the mound more, which also might be contributing to some of the added velocity, but has also contributed to better command in the spring. And so I'm interested in that. Again, that doesn't mitigate any of the issues against left-handers that we talked about before. And so, you know, I can't move him too high. But I could see putting, like, I have him kind of in like the AJ Puck, Mackenzie Gore range.
Mackenzie Gore,
which feels to me a little bit like, you know, first of all guys that, you know, popped on my radar this spring and have some upside, but also have spotty track records or potential concerns, you know, things like that.
By the way, I do want to note Carter Crawford pitched today. 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts against the Rays. That's just good to see. You know, that's not the worst lineup. It's not the greatest lineup. It's actually a pretty bad lineup for the Rays. So, you know, I'll see if I can watch this to get a better sense to see if Carter Crawford is actually looking like himself and what we want him to be. I do want to mention Mackenzie Gore quickly there. It's a good segue. Is his first two starts, and this is coming off of a game of like 8 runs and, you know, 11 hits and 2 walks and 10 strikeouts. Maybe it was 9 hits. But his first two starts are in Cincinnati and against the Phillies. That's if he's the SP2 or the SP3. Are you still considering Mackenzie Gore there? Because in my 12 teamers, I'm thinking Gore, if I'm getting him, he's one of the last ones I have, right? And I don't want to start him for those.
Well, so it's interesting is that you sent me this really great list of the first two starts. I currently have Mackenzie Gore ahead of Hauk. I may move Hauk up because on this same document, I looked at Tanner Houck's schedule and he gets at Oakland and at the Los Angeles Angels.
Exactly right. Gosh.
And Garrett Whitlock gets at Mariners and at the Angels. And the Mariners offense is fine, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have the thump that we're used to seeing it. It's certainly better than facing the Phillies offense, right? So I think I like Houck's schedule. And then you have some other guys, like I know you don't love Mitch Keller, right? You have your concerns about Mitch Keller, but he gets the Marlins and the Nationals in his first two starts. Like I'm taking Mitch Keller there. Kenta Maeda is right in the same range.
And what's even better with Kenta Maeda is that it's opening weekend, and more so than Mitch Keller, who might go a little bit higher in your drafts. But because Kenta Maeda gets the White Sox that opening weekend, it means that if it's not something you love, you can get out.
Right. Except you might not want to get out because his second start is
right. The second one is Oakland.
Right.
So, oh, man.
You have all this. And then, like, again, another segue. Let's talk about some of these Detroit pitchers who have popped for us, right?
They're the best.
So I currently have Mackenzie Gore ahead of Reese Olson and Matt Manning. I think you and I both have agreed that Olson and Manning are ranked ahead of Mize right now because we think
I don't think that Mize is going to be in the there. Yeah, I think it's going to be Olson.
Even though Mize looks great in the spring.
Mize is honestly looking better than both of them.
Yeah, I'm super interested in Casey Mize. I just think because he didn't pitch at all last year, we're going to see his innings more at the back half of the season. And so keep an eye on what he does in the minors or however they use him, because I think he should certainly be somebody you pick up when it looks like he's going to be in the rotation. But like Olson and Manning are two guys I currently have below Mackenzie Gore. I have liked what I've seen from both of them, Olson and Manning, in terms of up a tick a little bit with velocity. Again, hand calculated vert on the fastball slightly up a little bit. Which is important because for those, especially for Reese Olson, he's never going to be a great fastball guy. But if his fastball can be fine, then it opens up his arsenal a lot because that both of them feature really good sliders. Matt Manning has always been boring in his MLB innings, but he's never been hit hard, right? His ratios have always been good, but there's nothing exciting. So now if I get a better fastball and I get that slider, we're now starting to get a little more interesting with those guys. I'm starting to kind of like how the Tigers are developing their pitching a little bit. Like it's still a little early to suggest that they're like their organization is good at it or the players utilize outside resources really well or whatever. But then you get the schedule that like you shared with me. Matt Manning would theoretically get the Mets and the Athletics. And the Mets, again, they have some good hitters. Like you're not attacking the Mets.
Yeah, but I'm totally starting Matt Manning there.
You're fine with it. Yeah. Right. And Reese Olson gets the Mets and the Pirates. And so I look at what Mackenzie Gore is getting with at Cincinnati and against Philly. And I think at the end of the year, I might say I would have rather had Mackenzie Gore But those first two starts, I don't know if I could start him, and I think I could start both of those guys.
Exactly. You're not in a best ball league. It's the thing I say all the time, right? It's with Mackenzie Gore, maybe at the end of the year he does that great, but you got to play the odds and the value now. And it's something that I actually took too long, I think, to realize in my fantasy baseball career is it is so much more important to get value now than it is later. Mm-hmm. Because you'd be surprised how you can find random value through the year, and don't bank on later value. Especially for the end of your draft, just get the stuff now and then you'll figure it out moving forward. Trust me, the guys in leagues who have open roster spots for players are the ones that are able to get the interesting thing of now, as opposed to everyone who's filled up. It's like, oh man, I don't know who to drop on this. I've got all these great guys and there's someone else that's interesting. You'll find that if you consolidate more and focus on the now, you'll be in a great situation moving forward. One funny thing is, why the heck didn't you take Matt Manning from me in tout? He was right there.
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
When did I?
You could have taken in the reserves.
Oh, in the reserves. Well, that's because I was waiting for an answer from Greg because I wanted to get his thoughts before we did this. And so I went with Jared Jones over Matt Manning because I was thinking, oh, reserve, I'll go for like ultimate upside.
Good play. I mean, again, because of the minor league thing, if he goes to the minors, then like you have
him. So I took Jones, and then because the reserve snakes, you took Manning before I came back around. But you actually, if you remember, I said Matt Manning. When I drafted Mize, I said Manning, and everybody was like, well, Manning was taken. I was like, oh, okay, well, then I'll take Casey.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was like, how dare you? But you did that like four rounds later, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't after Jones. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yes. That was funny. I was like, how dare you? No, not a chance.
Because I had to take Ranger Suarez, obviously.
Yeah, there it is.
That was the plan. Yes.
And about that with Jared Jones, I think that's an interesting one, too. As you mentioned with Mitch Keller, Miami and Washington, you know, I took him in Guillotine League is Martin Perez, who gets Miami and Washington. And I know it sounds crazy, but Martin Perez is commanding right now. And that could be a very beneficial two-star week. For the first 10 days, right, of the season. But if it is Jared Jones as the number five, he would get at Washington in his first one. And so not only are you getting the fun thing, you get that start where you would be starting him and not have the anxiety that you normally have. And if that goes well, you'd be getting Baltimore in PNC Park, which is good. Doesn't really matter where you play that one, I guess. I'm going to be sharing this text document I made. If I can make it into like a Google sheet, I will do that instead so that everyone can be happier with it. But I will be sharing this inside the PL Pro Discord, inside the PL Pro Lounge. So if you're listening to this and you want this thing,
go into that.
Yeah, of course, it's a lounge for those that have the highest tier of subscription. So I will give you guys this. And I will be releasing an article at some point next week about the guys I'm streaming the first week of the season. And then we'll be highlighting this. We'll also be having our expected SB schedules for 2 weeks, once a week. Yeah. So we will have all of this stuff highlighted in some fashion because it is so, so, so important. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can't emphasize this enough. I talked about it with Spore actually today on the Fireside Chat, the first one of the official start of the feed, the real feed, not just an addition to Sleeper in the Bus or On the Corner. It's its own new podcast weekly on Tuesdays. I'm doing with Spore now. It's the Fireside Chat. Go check that out too. But we have some more guys that we want to talk about that have really, we want to circle. We're going to talk about them after this break.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
So, Eric, is Luis Seal going to get the fifth spot?
I hope so. My Yankee fan friends say, isn't this why they signed Luke Weaver? And I say, ew, gross. But the answer is probably yes. I mean, it's probably why they signed Luke Weaver. And so it would really not surprise me if Luke Weaver gets the first opportunity. I'm hoping it's Louis Heal. I know that he's on your list of risers or sprint guys that jumped on your spring radar. He's on mine too. Because of how good he looks, and then also just because of the Yankee injuries. But what is it about him where you've been impressed?
Well, so first of all, Luke Weaver had like a neck soreness or something along those lines. So he was already delayed in the spring and wasn't looking good. And I feel like the Yankees are like, I know we did this just as like a backup, but like, eh. And so again, I talked about this with Spore on the Fireside Chat. He made a really good point that Will Warren is not on the 40 man. And I thought he was, and he's not. So I initially kind of thought that the Yankees would go with Will Warren. And it just, he's to me the most complete at the moment. And the fact that Luis Heal is coming back from Tommy John, kind of like Casey Mize, that they would bring up Luis Heal and he wouldn't leave the rotation ever, essentially. And that would be mid-May. So that means in the meantime, then it would be Clayton Beter. And I don't really like Clayton Beter that much, honestly. He's fine. He would get Arizona first. And if you want to take a chance on that one, it's okay. But I could very much see that as like a 5-inning, 300-run game or something like that. And I'm just like, eh, I don't really think he's that 8-strikeout guy. It's 4-seamer slider. Just that's a worse version of that than Luis Heal. I don't really think the command is amazing. But if it is Luis Heal, I think you say, you know what? No, we're just going to do this. We got to make sure we win as many games as possible because we lost Cole. We have an injured Judge. Like, we can't dawdle here. We don't even know how long Cortez and Rodon are going to be healthy. Like, do not take any game for granted. Then Luis Seal comes up and he is dope. He is legit. I've been thinking about this with like prospects of you have Jackson Jobe is my number one easily. And Paul Skeens, he's number two, and he's right behind him. But those two guys are just, of all the guys who are not currently in the rotation, those are one and two. Number three is Jared Jones. But number four is Luis Heal. And I originally thought that Jones was kind of in a tier of his own, and that's his middling one. No, Luis Heal is there too. And then it's kind of everybody else is underneath this. And you think, no, what about like Max Meyer, Nick, or like Cade Horton? Or nope, I don't see enough of Cade Horton right now. And maybe I'll change my decision when I'm able to actually get more data on it or watch him against live major league hitters. But for right now, Heal is right there with Jared Jones. So you can even argue higher than Jones because of the team context and getting more win potential. And the fact that he has three pitches, they throw some strikes down, not just two. And that changeup is looking really good. So I'm tempted to just stash him for a week in my drafts. Like if I had a draft tonight or tomorrow, my last round pick, just make it Luis Heal. Mm-hmm. And if it's not him, great. We have a whole laundry list of guys you can go for instead. And you will know by the end of this week, likely, who is that fifth spot. The Yankees will make it clear. Maybe not. Maybe it's like one more game to determine it. Clayton Beter versus Luis Heal. Next Monday, but likelihood is we're going to know. So be ready for that. Luis Seal, I think you can just get in right now before that's done. And for you, Eric, I'll phrase this two ways. Okay. One, without knowing about, actually, I'll phrase it like this. Luis Heal or Raylo if they both have a rotation spot?
Raylo currently. I think the team context is better. So I trust the Braves offense a little bit more, obviously, than I trust the Yankees offense. I guess they both have, like, Renato Lopez consistently has tantalized with upside and let us down. So at some point you're thinking it's just inevitable he's going to let us down. But I trust the Braves as an organization, and they went out and signed him to be a starter. And yeah, he's looked good in the spring as a starter. And so if he only needs to go like five innings at a time, like, he's another guy who's popped on my radar as somebody who, like, maybe I, like, shook my head at what the Braves were doing beforehand. Like, okay, sure, he's a starter. But they kind of towed that line the whole time, and it has come through, and he's looked pretty good. His last start, he was still hitting 96 in, like, the fourth inning. He's carried velocity. I think that if he does stick, then I think the upside is higher. But realistically, I don't think either one of them sticks, if we're being honest. And so I'm not banking on either one of them to stick. Like, I don't think
that's interesting. Temper. You don't think Raylo's going to stick? I mean, who would take over?
No idea. They have no good options, but right, believe him. I mean, I think that come August, it would not surprise me if neither one of these guys was in the rotations for their team. The Braves have, A.J. Smith-Shawver. They have Hurston Waldrop. They have guys that can come up and throw really good innings. Then again, they also have, injury-prone starters who could open up spots. But I think, as you pointed out, like, I'm going for the immediate, who will be better in the first 2 months of the season. And I think I'd rather have Reynaldo Lopez because I have a little bit more of a track record to go off of and more of a team context. And I like what I've seen in the spring. So, yeah. Are you coming out on the same side, or you would prefer the hometown boy?
I prefer Luis Teal.
Interesting.
I think they both have overpowering. Actually, I think Luis Teal's four seamer is better, and then Reynaldo Lopez's. And I also think the secondary package of changeup and slider is better with Luis Teal than Reynaldo Lopez. I do believe that I wonder who has actually better command. I can't quite decide right now. Team context, absolutely, Atlanta's better. Like, I can see Raylo going a little bit deeper into the game. I can see, just more wins, all of that. And the fact that there's no clearer backup behind Raylo, save for Bryce Elder and AJ Smith-Shawver. Those are the two. So if Raylo's just doing well, it's like, it's yours, buddy. Also, no innings limit, theoretically. Like, they'll just go. So that makes it really tough to decide. I mean, as of right now, I'm going to go for Raylo because he has it. But if Luis Teal gets it, I think I'm going to chase the higher ceiling in Luis Teal.
That makes sense. If you were doing a draft like tonight, right? If before you know.
Well, right. Then the I'm
Yankees,
going.
And you may not know for Raylo. A week. Okay. Yeah. Because we may not know for a week what the Yankees are going to do.
Yep. Absolutely. It's such a fun time of the year, isn't it?
It's great. We love it.
It's the best.
I want to ask you about another guy who I am intrigued by, another guy who won a fifth starter spot, who I think has popped for both of us, and it's Gavin Stone, because he was somebody who neither one of us was penciling into the equation early on. We thought that Emmett Sheehan was going to be the fifth starter. Emmett Sheehan got hurt. We weren't really convinced that Gavin Stone was really any good. Obviously he's a major league pitcher. He's good. We just mean a fantasy relevant good. And then he's looked good in the spring. He has won the fifth starter spot. As I started digging in, I realized he's really kind of revamped his entire pitch mix.
Yeah.
He, in addition to realizing that he was tipping his non changeup pitches because he gripped that, like, he was, because the changeup is his best pitch, he kind of like let it fly. And all the other pitches, he was like very deliberate about his arm action, and they caught that he was basically tipping any pitch that wasn't a changeup because his arm action was different. And so that's why major league hitters just spit on his changeup, because they knew it was coming and they didn't chase it out of the zone. So that in and of itself makes him better. He has scrapped the kind of sweepier or started throwing a harder slider as opposed to a sweepier slider. And then in addition to that, he's also kind of working on, again, another little like a two seam fastball. So he's doing a lot of things to set up the changeup a little bit more, which has intrigued me given the team context. I guess my question to you is, are you intrigued by Gavin Stone as an actual pitcher, or are you just saying, I'm interested because he has the roster spot, but I'm not like overly interested?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this. Again, I talked about it a bit more on the Fireside Chat, so go check that out with Spore, that I just recorded an hour ago if you want more Gavin Stone talk. In short, I'm in now. I've changed my tune because it's the Giants and the Cubs, and I say, what the heck? Give it a shot. It's a first start that could work out well. I have my hesitations that the Dodgers are going to let him go super long. They certainly have a history of Dodgeritis that is generally their fifth starter does not go very long. And they always have this kind of swing spot in the rotation where they throw in their other relievers. Like we've seen it from Emmett Sheehan. We've seen it from Michael Grove. We saw it from Pepiot last year. We saw, and we also see these guys, Landon Knack and Kyle Hurt, who I think in the season will go into those roles as well. And we saw Gavin Stone act like that last year, though he does look better, right? The changeup looks really good. He just had a great time in Korea. And as you mentioned, his arsenal's improved. 1.5 ticks up on the fastball. I've just been pushing back because the changeup is the focus. I don't like changeup focus guys, but it's worth the gamble at the end of your draft. Just to kind of see how this goes. There's also the fact that like Dustin May and Walker Buehler and are going to return at some point here and push out somebody, and it's expected to be this. Maybe Emmett Sheehan returns and they say, yeah, you know what? We want to let Emmett Sheehan have some stabs at this too.
Right.
Obviously, you have Glasnow and you have Paxton there that also are going to likely vacate a spot just from health. But there's a lot more confusion for the full year with Gavin Stone. It does not matter considering that Gavin Stone is not going inside the top 200. If he is, I'm not going to do that. But if he's going 20th round or later in your 12 teamers, then yeah, I'm all for taking a flyer on Stone.
Yeah, I love that. I know another guy on your list that you've talked about is Ryan Weathers. We've kind of talked way too much about AJ Puck, but he is somebody who certainly emerged onto our radars with how good he's looked in the spring, and the injuries to the Marlins have given him a roster spot. But free reign to talk about either of these two Marlins pitchers. Are you confident in either one of them, or is this just kind of like, again, you have a spot, so I'm interested for now?
Right. So the whole Marlins situation, I don't think it's going to be Max Meyer at the five. I think they're just going to do like Brian Hoeing or something like that, and Yanni Chirinos or whatever. But AJ Puck, Trevor Rogers, Ryan Weathers, they all have good matchups. And that's what's kind of nice, right? Puck gets a Pittsburgh and the Angels. Trevor Rogers gets the Pittsburgh and the Cardinals, and so does Ryan Weathers, Pittsburgh and Cardinals. Puck looks great. He looks like he has his fastballs throwing strikes. They're really good. They're going to get a lot of swing strikes. His secondaries are good enough to allow him to not walk batters. His command doesn't seem unruly. I like AJ Puck, especially with that comfortable of an early season. We can get more data, more information, understand, is this a guy who's ready to soar, or is it just like, okay, these were fine and let's move on. Trevor Rogers, I think, is going to stick more than Ryan Weathers in the rotation. I see Ryan Weathers as the number four. And then once Braxton Garrett comes back and Edward Cabrera, hopefully Yuri too. Yeah, he's the one that gets ousted. We've also seen, I was thinking about this, in Padres land in 2023, Ryan Weathers looked really good in the beginning of spring and then faded. Now it is a better slider now, but the four-seamer is coming down a little bit in velocity, and I'm not as sold on Weathers. However, it is the Pirates, and I would absolutely go for that. But Trevor Rogers is going to stick in longer. Slider and changeup are both getting located down. Those are two major pitches for Trevor Rogers. They were huge additions for him in 2022. That's part of the reason why he soared then. But his fastball velocity is down. It's at like 91 and change. It's not at 93 and change. So I would love to see Trevor Rogers at 93, 94 as we get more of him, as he's still ramping up. But it does look like he's going to be the third for the Marlins. And that means Pirates, Cardinals, I would go for Trevor Rogers over Ryan Weathers because I think he could stick and hold on to it for a while carrying the same kind of upside, really, for those early starts that Ryan Weathers has.
Yeah. What I like about Ryan Weathers, I also like, you know, he came up when he was 21 with the Padres, right? So he's only 24 years old. That is something to think about. Like, we talk about that on the offensive side with CJ Abrams, that, like, yes, it's been bumpy, but some people don't even debut until after they're 24. So he's still young and can grow, and there can be improvement here. I love, obviously, that because he has, you know, lineage where his dad was an MLB pitcher, like, when you watch him, there is like a confidence on the mound. There is a presence on the mound. And I know that doesn't mean a lot, like, analytically speaking, but I do find that I like to gravitate towards pitchers who I feel like have utter confidence in what they're doing, because mm-hmm. with pitching, that is a lot of it. Like, even if your stuff isn't good on a day, if you feel like you can still shove, like, you're going to pitch a little better than maybe your stuff indicates because you have that mindset. I really do think that mental part of pitching is important. That's not, you know, making Ryan Weathers shoot up my rankings, but I do just think it's like, now that we have him looking a little better than he's looked in the past, when you add that mental component, it has me intrigued by him.
Yeah.
Another pitcher who jumped for me, who I had totally written off. And like, in our early discussions of the Tampa Bay Rays rotation, when we didn't yet know that Shane Baz wasn't going to start the year in the rotation, we were like, just put him in over Zach Littell. Like, what are we doing? Like, let's just turn the page. And Zach Littell has looked pretty good this spring. I watched his start last week against the Braves, where he struck out Ronald Acuna Jr., Austin Riley, and Sean Murphy, three batters in a row, all on high fastballs, which is like wild because he throws like 94, 95. Like, he's not pumping like ridiculous velocity to hitters of that caliber. But again, it's just like a, you know, we've talked about the Rays finding the approach. And, you know, like, I love the podcast that Eno and Derek did on Rates and Barrels, and the article that I think it was Eno that wrote about, like, the Rays being one location catchers, where like they map out how a pitcher's arsenal works. And they have the pitcher aim at one spot because they understand that the pitcher's pitches will then move in whatever direction they naturally do. And so they have optimized pitchers' pitch mixes in ways that kind of like improve their overall performance. And like, Zach Littell was good for them as a starter last year. And I think we kind of shrugged it off because, A, it didn't come with strikeouts. So, you know, 56 strikeouts and 71 and a third is like, for fantasy, you're kind of like, whatever. But he had a 3.41 ERA. He looks good in the spring. There's a little bit of uptick in swing and miss so far in the spring. Who knows if that'll carry over? But he's now on my radar as just like, especially in like a 15 team league, like, just a boring pick where he's on a good team context. I don't think he's going to hurt you in really any respect. And maybe you don't get a lot of strikeouts, but if you've planned around that with the rest of your arsenal, like, I think he can be a very usable pitcher for a lot of the season. And maybe he operates like, you know, Paul Sporer called those guys like team streamers, where maybe he never gets cut from your roster. But if they're, you know, going up against the Orioles, you just say, maybe not, but he's not worthy of being on your wire. And honestly, like, maybe that's being too harsh on him. Like, maybe you do start him in a 15 team league in those matchups.
Ah, so Zach Littell, Jays and Coors to start.
So I'll start him against the Jays. I think that offense is wholly overrated.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. I mean, having that as a rated as a red, as in like, don't, you know, avoid, probably a light red. So it's like the second tier as opposed to the top tier. Littell against the Jays is and then it's at Colorado. I saw that with Littell. The thing is, he got whiffs on his four seamer, and I don't think his four seamer is that good. So
Right.
I mean, then again, it's Acuna. The guys will tell you kind of, you know, that's why
right.
I can say.
So I agree that I don't think it's that good, but then watching him blow fastballs by those three hitters so weird, right? is like, okay, maybe I'm missing something, or maybe it's not good, but maybe it's not bad, right? Like maybe it's solid. And so maybe that again makes him just kind of like, he's not good, he's not bad, he's just a solid pitcher. And we've seen a lot of pitchers have fantasy value by operating in that lane.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a good one to end on here. I'm really curious about that. But Eric, here we go. We're getting close to drafts. I mean, it is draft season. We're getting close to opening day.
We are.
And for everybody listening, I'm doing an update on the list on Thursday, and then I'll have another one on Wednesday. So what we're going to do next week on Monday is just go over the last update, and then also I'll have any little notes about what the update will be on Wednesday. And we'll have that podcast for you. And then it's just, regular OTC content every Monday through the season as we review the list. Can't wait for that. Stoked to have a full season with you, Eric.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to adapt in real time with full information.
Right.
We've done a lot of like retrospective ranking, and we've done a lot of like ranking and discussion based on like, this camera angle sucks, but I think it's like this. So it'll be nice to like have full information and full game feeds and be able to watch all these guys and see everything and then kind of like talk and adjust in real time.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast.
And I'll see you at other half.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great. Everybody else, I hope to see you too. Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be there.
Come out, everybody. I am Eric Smolski, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.